I'm the sports professor Rick Haro, and welcome to Beyond the Scoreboard, an inside look at the trillion-dollar business, marketing, legal, endorsement, deal-making issues of sports, with special emphasis on what it means for the New England sports fan. And it's a big week heading to a bigger week. Masters just around the corner. Can you feel it? It's getting warmer. NCAA Final Four coming to an end in Phoenix. Hot down there and certainly hot for upset-minded teams like South Carolina and Oregon. NBA, NHL playoffs just around the corner as well as the teams getting in, trying to get in, and the teams at the top honing their playoff run. NFL, Vegas, that's on the headlines, but also NASCAR, international soccer, whole lot of other issues. If you want our weekly list of the 15 topics this week, log on to csnne.com. You can see it in text, but also subscribe to our iTunes feed. Look for us on Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, and the like. Take a look at some of the issues this week, especially getting fans' attention in New England. First of all, the NCAAs. Well, East versus West matchups, Gonzaga 6.5-point favorite over newfound upset expert South Carolina, reaching the school's first Final Four ever, having the distinction of winning twice as many NCAA tournament games in the last 10 days than they won in their entire history. South Carolina last won an NCAA game in 73, and the University of Oregon, battling North Carolina on the other side of the bracket as a 4.5-point underdog, hasn't been to the Final Four since 1937, the tournament's maiden year, although they made the Elite Eight last year. The even bigger numbers are the greater Phoenix region hoping to pull in more than the estimated $300 million in economic impact greater Houston pocketed from hosting the Final Four last year. Clearly, the most important issue is gambling, some would say. Not supposed to talk about it, but last year, $8.9 billion estimated amount waged illegally on the 2016 NCAA basketball tournament. One thing that transcends geography is the almighty dollar in the gambling part of it. We heard about the $4 billion in lost productivity the first week, although the viewing was up 5%. And as I said, a productive worker becomes more productive if he's happy. And certainly if you're winning, you get very happy. Who are the other winners as well? Well, look at the coaches. Roy Williams made $675,000 on his way to the tournament and on his way to the Final Four, including $200,000 from his Final Four appearance, a guarantee. He also gets $250,000 if he wins the NCAA title. That remains to be seen. Compare that to Dana Altman, obviously happy to be there, but he got $40,000 for the Pac-12 title. $25,000 for a bid, $50,000 for the Sweet 16, and he gets $100,000 for being in the Final Four, $215,000 total. He also gets $250,000 if he wins. Frank Martin also gets the $215,000, but he gets it in a different way. $15,000 with 12 or more SEC wins, $25,000 for the bid, $25,000 for the Sweet 16, $50,000 for the Elite Eight, and $100,000 for the Final Four. He gets $200,000 if he wins the tournament. I don't think it matters that he gets $50,000 less than the other guys. We're still trying to figure out about Gonzaga, but the point is the coaches do okay. What about the players? Another conversation for another day. The NCAA Fun Facts infographic has the 2017 best and worst cities for college basketball fans. The best? Chapel Hill. Obvious. Next? Los Angeles with UCLA. Next, Durham. You got Tar Heels number one and Blue Devils number three. Let's go to the other side of it, though. The worst cities for college hoop fans. Look, I don't know what the criteria is. Of course, we could argue it. But those of you who see this and hear this in New Britain, Connecticut, you're listed as the worst city for college hoop fans. Got to change that around. Well, so much for Final Four. We'll talk about the impact of it next week. Speaking of impact, look at Major League Baseball. We're just a couple of weeks from opening season and StubHub's winning already. Fans flocking to ballparks all across the country, even in spring training, and there's a good chance they used StubHub to purchase a ticket. Certainly all ticket organizations, that's what's changing. StubHub partners of 29 of 30. the LA Angels back on mobile devices. Two other major teams that StubHub is equipping for mobile entry, the Cubs and the Yankees. The start of the new season, officially rolling out their virtual view, 360-degree virtual reality seat viewer to every MLB ballpark. If you want to buy a ticket, you click on and you find out where it's located, then you spend your money. Good news not only for baseball fans, but for the clubs as well. The world's largest ticket marketplace with the industry-leading tech tools works hand-in-hand with partners to offer a superior product and experience. It's a win for everyone involved. But look at Major League Baseball broadly. The next arms race, not just internet, not just global. How about sports science? Sportsnet CA, the Blue Jays, may be leading the pack, they say. The franchise investing heavily on this front with their new high-performance department, serving as an interdisciplinary collection of specialists covering everything from strength and conditioning to psychology, they say in their press release. The Blue Jays players who worked out on the facility thus far have been amazed. In my experience, completely unique to baseball, said left fielder Steve Pierce. He also says, I feel like a fish out of water just trying to learn all the stuff that they do because it's completely different. The team's already made multiple full-time hires for the facility, trying to bring some of the best talent in sports science to help the team on the field. But here's what it means to you and my take. All new competitive information follows the same trend, especially in baseball, Red Sox fans. Acceptance among a small number of enlightened teams. The Red Sox lead the way in vision now and in the future. And then a frenzy of copy to include all of the others. Sports science seems to be the next phase. The lemmings follow the others, but meanwhile, the enlightened teams continue to get a jump on everybody else, and the Red Sox clearly are no exception. Now let's talk about the NFL and the Raiders. Well, it's obvious, it's all over the media, 31-1 vote at the NFL's winter meetings in Phoenix to allow the Raiders to go to Las Vegas as beginning 2020, maybe even a little earlier, depending on how quickly the construction happens. $1.7 billion stadium, a lose for the city of Oakland and Alameda County, with the Fortress Group and Mayor Libby Schaaf out on a limb saying it was a good deal. Obviously not good enough for the NFL. Win, win, win for all concerned. First, the Raiders themselves, a 57-year-old franchise with a proud history and tradition, and the relocation fee, probably a little less than $400 million. It's not as big as the Rams and the Chargers, and the bottom line is that they get $750 million of public money toward a $1.7 billion stadium, with the NFL paying some as well, and also Bank of America coming up with the rest. Now, the football-related revenues can go to who they really need to go to put together a competitive team for the Oakland Raiders over a long period of time, or shall we say, the Vegas Raiders. Second, the city of Las Vegas. Important for them because the $1.7 billion stadium is not just for the football team, but it's also for the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. It's also for conventions, potential Final Fours, religious revivals, and Super Bowls itself as well. So you go from a radioactive city that will have no major league teams to one that now has two, hockey now, football 3 years later, two NASCAR races, and a whole host of events that only a major stadium and tourist infrastructure can generate. And the final winner, very clearly, the NFL. Instability causes franchise value decrease. Stability causes increase. The NFL seeking $25 billion a year in revenue, and the only thing holding it back was uncertainty. Now, no stadium issues left. They can focus on international expansion and development. They can talk about concussion protocol. They can focus on relationships with the players. And stability increases the value of the Raiders, to be sure, but everybody else as well, including, by the way, the Patriots. Finally, let's end with a couple international things that involve hockey and soccer. First of all, Bruin fans, watch the impact of the NHL decision relative to Korea in 2018. According to Reuters, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman says the negotiations on Olympic participation at a standstill, People should assume the league will not be sending its players to the 2018 games in Korea. The NHL let its players participate in the last five Winter Olympics, but Bettman said there was no quantitative benefit for the league to send its players away for those weeks. He said, "We don't get content from the NHL Network. We don't get content for our social media platforms and NHL.com. Why do we do it five times? Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time, but we've been relatively unable to quantify any benefit from it. And for Bruin fans and others, the take is that this is a difficult decision. It's always difficult to choose between participating or not, especially halfway around the globe. And also remember that the NBA season always falls outside the Olympic schedule. They don't have as tough a decision to make. It's clearly important, though, to protect the integrity of the NHL season and its players. Bruins fans, others, understand that it may be a wonderful thing to watch your team play in Korea, but the economics of this may even be more important." Finally, internationally, becoming the first foreign club to open office in mainland China, German club Bayern Munich opened an office in Shanghai. They made a push to expand its international presence, opening its first overseas office in New York recently. The club currently has over 136 million followers in China, so Bayern thought it made sense to focus more energy and time on the Chinese soccer market. Soccer becoming a national priority in mainland China. Major clubs now trying more than ever to win over the 1.3 billion, yeah, that's with a B, residents. Spurred by the president's wish for the nation to become a soccer superpower, leading companies and some of China's wealthiest individuals plowing billions of dollars into the sport, paying record fees to lure top talent to clubs, building training complexes, and buying foreign teams. And for Boston and Revolution soccer fans, look for a trend that includes more mega soccer clubs to open offices in China. Marketing synergies, player development, and brand building all factor into the equation. And that's the highlight of the top issues this week. Again, you want to have all of them in text in front of you, log on to CSNNE.com. Well, Masters is right around the corner, but we have somebody who's been interviewed on many different occasions for many different reasons. The guy is the co-founder of MVP.com, the largest and newest company that does nothing but measure social media likeness awareness for corporations to evaluate teams, leagues, and otherwise. He also has some really interesting perspective from the social media ideas of where the Patriots players stand and where everybody in Boston sports stand. So stay tuned. And oh, by the way, his name is Sean Spieth. You recognize that name? He's the father of Jordan. What a great laboratory to discuss what social media is, to have Thanksgiving dinner on brand awareness with the greatest golfer on the planet. Here he is, Sean Spieth. Celebrity Hour, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Sloan MIT Analytics Conference. We've had some big, important people on here, but nobody bigger, nobody more important than this man, Sean Spieth. The reason why he's important is his son is one of the best athletes in the world. All-academic basketball player, Brown. Congratulations.
Thank you, Rick. Yeah, good timing. Wonderful.
Good timing. Really
well
done.
Nice surprise for all of us yesterday.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. And we actually had George Pine on earlier, who is the third most famous football player at Brown, Mark Donovan running the Kansas City Chiefs being one of the other guys. And the other, to be fair, Father Jordan Spieth, which is not really relevant to this interview because the relevance of the interview is founder of originally Stout, but MVP Analytics. You're here as a speaker and as a guest of the foremost analytics conference in the country. And you have invented a hell of a product. Why don't you tell people about it?
Well, what we set out to do was find a way to become the currency for social media, sports, and entertainment. It's kind of that simple. So we go from traditional media and the measurement platforms there to digital and social being the fastest growing piece and the most engaging piece of digital media. There wasn't an index, there wasn't a real good measurement standard, so that's our mission.
And I know for a fact years ago you were looking to try to figure out what the niche was. And what do you do first? Do you develop the methodology and perfect it? Do you identify who the corporate clients are and sell it in, or is it a combination of both?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both for a couple of reasons. One, it's new.
Right.
So there wasn't a proven methodology. There are traditional measurement metrics, which is really the foundation,
right?
Impressions, CPM, CPCs. So those are the foundation of valuation. But how do you amplify social? What factors really make sense? And we used some expertise that we have within the company, and we went, but we had to go out to clients, and those who write the checks ultimately for the ads and for the analytics, and ask them, what's important? Does this make sense? So about 2 years worth of working through our platform and the weightings and how we actually get to our calculations is probably the most critical part of the process.
The notion for the unwashed who just watch this casually that an endorsement deal is cut at a golf course because a CEO likes the way somebody plays golf or basketball or whatever, those days are long gone, maybe never happened. I mean, the analytics really carry the day, don't they?
I think that's the case going forward. Some of that. I mean, obviously, people are so passionate about sports, and certain products and product categories, you know, fit really well in certain sports categories. So before you get into analytics, you know where you want to be, you know where you should be for a lot of corporate brands. But now to stay there, to grow your investment, you've got to have the data to support it, whether it's a, you know, a team in the NBA or it's a or it's an individual athlete you're supporting. Or you're getting into esports and you're trying to figure out where and when and in what capacity.
What's so unique about the product?
We're tracking everything. Every conversation around professional sports in the U.S. and Europe. And I say everything on the major social platforms. So we go back eight and a half, 9 years now with data so we can show what's trending. What conversations happened 8 years ago for a brand around their endorsements and their sponsorships relative to a certain league or team or set of athletes that they endorse.
From a social media perspective.
From a social media perspective specifically and only. So we're focused there. We can plug in and be complementary to other solutions that are very well known.
Right.
We can be part of a consultant's solution as an independent good housekeeping seal of approval, third party validation. So I think that's what's unique is that we're looking at the whole landscape. Most analytics are done around a brand, a team, a league, or a specific asset.
So background of Sean Spieth, Dallas-based engineer?
Dallas-based entrepreneur. Dallas-based entrepreneur.
Right.
Sales and marketing background. We've got engineers and data guys a lot smarter than me, thank goodness, running the platform.
Well, but they're smarter in different areas. So the epiphany moment, which is really kind of a visionary perspective, you see the value of social media, and you obviously see how athletes move the needle, the ultimate irony given your son. But you decide that there is something special. When was the epiphany to say, look at social media, this is a happenstance kind of thing, it's arbitrary, we're going to enter the field, and I'm going to do it?
Yeah, the stars kind of aligned.
Yeah.
You know, I had a couple of kids as athletes, but one of them turned professional and went out and talked to a lot of brands and a lot of agents and agencies and asked, how do you value them and their relationships with their brand sponsors? Who should we be aligned with? Who should Jordan be aligned with?
Right.
Who should, you know, up-and-coming actors, actresses, singers, football players be aligned with? And they were traditional measurement, traditional answers, and there really wasn't an awful lot of thought giving to social alignment, right? Who do they engage with? Who engages with golf? Who engages with 19, 20, 21-year-olds that are from certain places?
So you have the ability to sit around at Thanksgiving dinner and actually talk to Jordan about what works and what doesn't from a social media perspective. So it's the ultimate test case. Kind of interesting.
It's fun, and at times, depending upon what happened a week or two prior,
clearly.
It may be something we choose not to talk about so we can enjoy Thanksgiving.
Right. I did. We're not supposed to. I stayed away from you after the Masters for a few weeks, by the way.
I stayed away from my son, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So this is going also to a New England distribution audience. We don't need to know the numbers, but give us a kind of a generalization. Who's hot? Forget who's not. Who's hot in New England sports? It's obviously Brady and Under Armour, but
Gronk's at the top of our index in football, not surprisingly, because of the way he engages with his audience.
Right.
So for the right products, the right markets, the right targets, he's as good as it gets. Tom Brady's a totally different personality, obviously. Fits other segments extremely well. The Celtics do some really cool fanatical things.
Yeah.
As do a lot of the teams here. So it's interesting. But what we see is we're not just comparing NBA teams, NBA teams, or football players to football players, we're looking across whatever horizon makes sense for that asset or for that group.
Are the Red Sox going to miss Ortiz from a social media perspective?
Absolutely.
Well?
Yeah, he's got a several million-dollar social media footprint.
Right.
And it was enormous last year. He's done a really nice job of keeping his engagement with his fans.
Right. And hockey, are you a hockey fan?
I'm a little bit of a hockey fan, yeah.
So the Bruins have had a long-term tradition here, so they've got a social media following as well.
Absolutely.
Clearly.
Absolutely, and it's interesting. We do some work for some hockey teams, and to see how the local and regional engagement fits relative to the top brands in the sport and
right.
what works for them on a national level. Lots of really, really good opportunities with regional partnerships. And you wouldn't expect who some of the brands are. So we'll go look at quick serve restaurants.
Yeah.
And the traditional companies that the teams
right.
are engaging and selling aren't the right fit socially. So there are some social-only engagements, some social-only endorsements now that are happening for teams, certainly for athletes and entertainers. It's been the case for a little longer than it is for teams and leagues.
So you have bridged the gap and do entertainers now as well?
We have. I mean, we've done it specifically for brand clients. They
yeah.
wanted us to look at influencers in certain segments. Entertainment's large, huge, and it's fragmented. So we've wanted to become the de facto standard, become the currency in sports, and then with that brand, with that ability to go back to our clients and say, you've got YouTube influencers, you've got influencers in music,
right.
you've got influencers in all kinds of different genres. Our platform works. It doesn't matter what the asset is, the platform works. We'll apply it.
Who needs this more? The corporation about to make an endorsement decision, the athlete who needs to respond better on social media, the teams who need to keep their athletes in check or promote them, or a combination?
I think the brands, first and foremost. There are a lot of really good consultants that can help the individual athletes
yeah.
and their agencies do a really nice job of helping them with their brand, their personal brand, their social activation. Same with the teams. It's a little smaller environment to operate in. Where we really add value is when we look at the entire ecosystem, and you can just pull things out that you can't see if you're looking at a region or you're looking at a specific sport.
So, bottom line of MVP Index, and shameless plug, we've been partners on the Power 100 methodology on course, on field, off course. Nobody, the interesting thing that I found after doing that is that it's very little other research that can be delivered to people on how, who moves the needle and how they move the needle relative to on-field and off-field performance. You'd have thought it had been done earlier, but that's precisely why you're in the business.
Exactly why we're in the business.
Yeah. Five-year plan, what does MVP look like 5 years from now?
We have an opportunity to go from a B2B platform yeah. for the advertisers and the brands that are trying to maximize their endorsements to taking every influencer that's relevant or every segment that really wants to do the best job they can do yeah. and understand where they are and what they're worth. So it can be every youth soccer player. It could be every youth athlete. It could be every band member that wants to opt into our platform, get best practices, kind of pay for a premium service. That's the big, big opportunity.
How long does it take Madison Avenue to get unlazy and catch up and really evaluate for purposes of their own corporate clients, how to monetize based on social media, based on the internet, and get out of the whole rut of traditional advertising box?
Well, I think it's happening now. It is happening now. Sports, live sports is
yeah.
what people want to watch on TV.
Right.
So you have a little bit of a paradigm shift that takes longer than a brand that's progressive and knows I can go sell 250,000 pair of shoes to this market because I've got this celebrity attached to it. And that micro-targeting is happening. Some very, very intelligent solutions. All we're trying to do is measure that and then compare it to every other type of activation
yeah.
that's going on and let the marketers know what works and, relatively speaking, what's valuable.
It's an incredible context, too, because you're a brand guy and you are a do-the-right-thing guy in that context. You've got an incredible daughter. You've got a son that's an amazing basketball player, but also academic All-American Brown. And you've got a golfer who's probably the best golfer on the planet, but he's also one of the best human beings on the planet. So your wife did a good job.
I was just going to say, Rick, we need to thank my wife for all of that.
final question. I get some free brand analysis from the branding guy in the world. So does this look, which looks better? Does this look better, or which one looks better?
Oh, that's definitely better. You're much more credible.
Wow. See that? But I've known her for like 5 years, and finally I get the answer. Where was that a few years ago? Thank you, my friend. Awesome.
My pleasure. Okay.
Sean Spieth has some interesting perspective, not just because we're heading to the Masters, but he is really one of the keys to social media today and in the future. Well, that's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to thank Sean Spieth, thank Jason Levine and Tanner Simpkins for putting this together. Thank you all for listening and watching the video of Sean. If you're interested to subscribe to our iTunes feed, look for us on Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, and see the 15 to watch on CSNNE.com. And also join us every week. And once again, when we go Beyond the Scoreboard.